Now, I want you to go in that bag and find my wallet.
Which one is it?
It's the one that says bad motherfucker. That's it. That's my bad motherfucker. Open it up. Take out the money. Count it. How much is there?
$1,500.
Okay, put it in your pocket. It's yours. Now, with the rest of those wallets in the register, that makes this a pretty successful little score, huh?
Jules, you give that fucking Nimrod $1,500 and I'll shoot him on general principle.
No, Yolanda, Yolanda, he ain't gonna do a goddamn motherfucking thing. Vince, shut the fuck up!
Shut up!
Come on, Yolanda, stay with me, baby. Now, I ain't giving it to him, Vincent. I'm buying something for my money. Wanna know what I'm buying, Ringo?
What?
Your life. I'm giving you that money so I don't have to kill your ass. You read the Bible, Ringo?
Not regularly, no.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon you. I've been saying that shit for years. And if you heard it, that meant your ass. I never gave much thought to what it meant. I just thought it was some cold-blooded shit to say to a motherfucker before I popped a cap in his ass. I saw some shit this morning made me think twice. See, now I'm thinking, maybe it means you're the evil man and I'm the righteous man. And Mr. 9mm here, he's the shepherd protecting my righteous ass in the valley of darkness. Or it could mean you're the righteous man and I'm the shepherd. And it's the world that's evil and selfish. Now, I'd like that. But that shit ain't the truth. The truth is, you're the weak, and I'm the tyranny of evil men. But I'm trying, Ringo. I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd.
Miriam Tosi in the house.
What's up, Malcolm Riddle?
Gotta clear my throat for this one.
How are you?
Oh, let me pot this down a little bit. I'm okay. We've been off, but we're back, people.
We are back.
We are back.
And
here we
back.
Go. Yeah. Oh.
Still, you forgot how good that was.
Still a little rusty, but I'm in the saddle. Oh, yeah. That's right, Miriam Tosi.
Going on.
Woo! Wasn't sure I was going to be able to bring that in, right?
You did it good. It was well done.
It's a little challenging, people, and yes, yes, welcome to another episode of American Riddle. I'm sitting here in front of the African with attitude.
Oh, thanks. Hi.
No diggy. No doubt.
No diggy or no diggity?
Both. How's that?
No diggy.
Yeah, I forgot the T. Diggity, right?
You forgot like a whole syllable. God.
Damn, people. Called out again.
I was just, you know, correcting, auto-correcting.
Oh, man. And you do it so well.
Thank you.
But we're here. You know, we had to take a couple weeks off. I guess it's been a couple weeks, right?
I think it's been, yeah, like yeah. Three, even almost a month, maybe.
No, man.
3 weeks at least.
It's been two, because I had a couple in the tank.
Oh, yeah,
already,
you did.
So
that's right.
This is the magic
I forgot about that.
The magic of production.
Well, it's felt like a long time for me because of my scheduling changes. So.
Yeah. You got the gig. You know what I mean? You're committed.
I am.
You know, you're working hard. And we've been trying to match up the schedule. So that's why we had to take a couple weeks off and podcast time. Maybe Mariam Tazi's time. It's been, you know, 3+ weeks. But
yeah.
You know.
All right, fine. Whatever. I don't know what the people hear.
The people hear what I give them. That's what they hear. And they hear the truth. This is the only podcast, right?
The only.
I mean, I know of. I can't think of another. You know, that's been blessed by the brother. You know what I mean? I can't think of one that's been blessed by who, Mariam Tazi?
Rakim Allah.
Oh, say it again.
Rakim.
Oh, my, oh, my.
On the short stand today.
Hey, I got to have it. I got to have it in.
I can barely see it over my computer.
Well, I mean.
I like that it was on the big one because then he was like, you know, raised and really, respected.
Maybe I should put it up. What she's describing for the listeners is the stand that the microphone that's been blessed by Rakim, the great Rakim. You know what I mean? The soloist, Rakim.
The one and only.
Oh, my God. Signed it right in front of me, and it's here, right in studio, and that's what we're talking about. So for those of you, it might be new listeners, right?
Hopefully.
Right? There might be a new listener. I said listeners. I got a little happy, but
a little carried
that's
away.
Okay, man. That's all right.
All right.
Woo, but a lot's been going on. You know, I've been opened up with Sam, the great Sam Jackson, and you know, him trying to find redemption in a chaotic world. Some of the stuff I've been definitely having a hard time with and trying to make my way through this world, just like everyone else is. No one's got it easy.
Some people do.
Well, no one in this studio.
No, definitely not.
Just say that.
Fair enough.
But I've been having some serious challenges. Work related on a professional level in the wine biz, a lot of chaos. But I'm trying.
There's always chaos in the wine business.
I'm trying to be the shepherd. I'm trying. You know what I mean?
Trying real hard.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens. I don't know, man. A lot of stuff's going on. I mean, you got the elections less than 30 days away.
Yeah, the
Donald Trump's out there grabbing pussies. And he's not even backing down. He's just straight up and admitting it. You know what I mean? He's going bold, talking about throwing Hillary Clinton in jail. Hillary Clinton sitting there taking it, and they threw poor Bill right in the middle. You know what I mean? They just threw him right
ugly.
In the middle. You know, they just let all the dirty laundry out. And
it's more gossipy than politics.
It is, man. It's like the worst of politics and reality TV.
Yeah.
All merged. But you know who. We created this shit.
You know? I don't know if I'm taking credit for that, but yeah, I mean, we as a people, as a society,
and we're going to be the ones that suffer.
Yeah.
Because of it.
As usual.
White people at war. You know?
And
who's stuck in the middle? The poor. And the poor, there is no color. You know what I mean?
That's
white,
true.
It's Latinos, it's Muslims, it's Black Americans, it's
yep.
Native Americans.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not even
in the conversation.
Well, there's conversation about them because of that pipeline that's trying to go through, and it's like people are trying to defend themselves, and they're getting beaten. It's like getting ridiculous.
What's this?
Haven't you heard?
Bring me up to speed.
Well, there was a pipe. I don't remember what states it's in. There's a few different states. There's a pipeline or something that's going. They're trying to construct it, and people are trying to stop it because they're trying to construct it in like, you know, respected land, you know, and sacred land, and people are just trying to stop it. It's not. The pipeline's land, you know, it's the people's land, and no respect.
Why would they start with respect now, after all these years?
Well, I mean, people are trying to speak up and trying to defend and, you know, trying to stop it from happening, and they're getting the dogs out and shit. It's like getting ridiculous. Like, you know, just people just don't have a say anymore.
Motherfuckers is going to get fed up. That's what's
going to
happen.
People are fed
up. I mean,
and
that's why you see everything that's going on, whether it's on social media or the protests in the street.
Yeah, but protests have no, like, it's just not doing anything. It's getting to the point where it's like you feel like you can, You know, it's like you don't have a voice anymore, and that really, really bothers me because it's like, what's the point?
I think you have more of a voice now. I challenge that. I think people have more of a voice now because we're able to connect on so many, and we can assemble without even being in the same state, in the same city, or the same town. So you can get your message out there. I just think that
it making an effect?
Well, you got to be in it for the long. You got to be committed.
I guess we are expecting it too quickly,
and you got to be committed to the death. You know what I mean? This thing does sound funny.
I only hear it on like one side of my head. I hear it more on the left side than the right.
Might be having some technical difficulties, people. But that's not going to stop the show. Yeah, it does. It sounds, hopefully it's not coming out. I'm looking at the mixing board and everything looks all right.
I don't know. I thought it was my headphones, but maybe not.
Hello? Okay.
So. That sounds better now. It's that knob right there. Yeah, it's a little.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just a.
I don't know. It just sounds better now.
All right.
There you go.
Was I off? Hello? Sorry, guys. Hey, you guys are witnesses.
Sound check.
This is.
We should have done this before the podcast went live.
No time.
It sounds better.
For those of you tuning in, and again, we may have lost a couple of listeners, but this is what goes on in this podcast.
It sounded lopsided.
And it's better now, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's okay.
So my apologies, but you know, like I said, there's no editing in this podcast. We just let it go. It's raw, uncut, you know what I mean? Right off the top of the dome.
Yeah, somebody asked me, like, I think it was last week. They're like, so who does your editing? I'm like,
She laughs.
I'm like, there's no editing. No. They're like, you just go. I was like, yeah, and there's no prep. There's nothing. We just go.
It's a luxury.
Oh, I mean, it's great.
What did I say when in studio? What was I complaining about when I was talking about Cassius Morris?
Oh, that he preps and he does all this, like, yeah, and like facts stats.
Who has time for that?
That's not a complaint. That's great if you have time.
Well, I was complaining about myself not being able to be that professional. And being able to put together,
yeah, but that's because you have no time.
A finished product.
Would put a lot more time into it if you did have it. Mm-hmm. We know this.
But what I want to get into is, speaking of revolting and assembly, I saw the movie The Birth of a Nation that's out right now that highlights the life of Nat Turner. So I don't even think he's even brought up in school, but Nat Turner was a slave, a preacher that. Orchestrates an uprising, and he goes on. He just takes out people. I mean, it was, you know, at the height of slavery right here in our backyard in Virginia. So
it was in Virginia.
Oh yeah, yeah, Southampton. So not too far from here, stone's throw away, one might say.
Who?
I don't know.
Who still uses that expression?
But there's a lot of controversy around the film itself, even the name of the film. We do have a guest coming on a podcast. Sorry, I got to rush this because he's crunched for time. Mm. But we're going to see if we can get Brandon Alter, a.k.a. Balter, a.k.a. Zombie Moses, on the phone. And see if he can shed some light on this historical uprising, revolt, revolution. You know what I mean? Let's see if we can get him on the horn. That's his theme song. Let's see if we can get this going.
That's funny.
Can't even hear that.
Because your music is too loud.
Yo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Zombie Moses is in the building.
Oh, my God.
You there?
He's not there anymore.
Where'd he go? Let's see. Let's pot this now.
We heard him for a second.
Yeah, I heard him. You there?
Hey, I heard you. I was waiting for the music to end.
Oh, you could hear the music.
It was a funky beat.
Oh, that's your theme song.
Yeah,
that's the closest. That's the closest thing I could find that could connect with the name Zombie Moses.
Whatever.
So I lost him again.
Yeah. He's there.
Yeah, he's there.
I'm here. Just, I guess when the music's on, you can't hear me.
Oh, I got you. So yeah, well, I'll figure that one out. We've had some technical difficulties. The audience is already prepped about
pretty
this.
Good.
It's not a big deal to us.
Yeah.
Maybe the listeners. But,
what's up, Brandon? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Miriam?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Sorry you couldn't make it to the studio.
Yeah, duty calls. Yeah. Balter has Zombie Moses or whatever alias you choose to go by. He has work related responsibilities, but we do have an opportune chance to talk to him for a few minutes, because what we're talking about was The Birth of a Nation, the new film written by and directed by Nate Parker, the story about Nat Turner. And you and I had a chance to talk about it briefly. Why don't you bring us up to speed about
the
title?
I was just, I had not, like, seen the new movie, but I think we were talking about the original D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, like, the pretty much, like, the most classic film ever made, because it just predates every other film. It was, like, 1915 or something like that. But I guess the new one is sort of kind of trying to elicit that feeling, that sort of anger that came from the original movie, which was essentially, it was basically about the Ku Klux Klan, and they were portrayed as the heroes. While I guess this was even back then, this was pretty horrific, because it was basically showing all these black people almost like animals, and the Klan comes in and basically saves everybody. And that's like, you know, America.
And
it was supposed to be very patriotic, but it was really just like turning like the Klan into like superheroes.
And that was that helped enlist, you know, tens of thousands of people into the KKK.
Oh yeah, I mean, like it inspired like shit like that wasn't even in the Klan beforehand. Like D.W. Griffith was all about using the visuals of film and the medium that, you know, had, you know, it was just like at the beginning. You know, no, there hadn't been many feature films. This was like a 2-hour-long epic. They had to have an intermission. 2 hours is too long back then. And they actually invented the cross burning in this movie. There would, like, the Klan did not burn crosses before this. Like, this movie was the first time ever, and he just did it for the movie.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
Jesus. I mean, when you think about that, I mean, just think about that history and its impact.
Yeah.
On many,
it was based on a book, I think, called The Klansman, like from a decade before that too. Like, this was like an ideology that was like brewing for a while in like Georgia and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you look at the impact it had on many communities and families across this country, and you know, it's mind-boggling just because how not so long ago that was.
And they didn't see themselves as racist. They saw themselves as crime fighters. Like,
yeah,
that was how it was in the film. Was like they were fighting crime, not race.
Well, even in the movie, in the film, it showcases, you know, of course, public hanging was a big deal in many cities and towns across this country. But
yeah,
it wasn't uncommon to see a child, a woman, a male hanging from trees throughout a specific town, and it was life. It was normal. It was a normal thing to see.
This movie actually had a, like, you know, you hear about screenings at like the White House now for big movies. Like, this movie was screened by Woodrow Wilson at the White House.
That was the KKK's version of it, right?
Well, it was Woodrow Wilson. So yeah, it was 19.
Yeah,
it was
the
1915, 1916 movie.
Clarify.
People did try and ban it. Like, the NAACP obviously was against the movie. They tried to get it banned, and you know what D.W. Griffith did? He made a sequel to the movie called Intolerance. He thought that people were being intolerant to his racist views, so he made another movie about that.
Wow,
yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it seems crazy.
I mean,
you think about
liberal Hollywood now, like, it wasn't like that back then.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It may seem crazy now, but it was you know, it was the norm. It was standard. You know, it was acceptable to showcase and to have those views, and not only that, to execute and inflict pain and death on men, women, and children.
Yeah, it's a really rough one. But like, pretty much everybody who studies film has to watch this movie, because it's one of the first like feature film, so you kind of want to know, you know, what he did, techniques that he sort of invented. But like, it's just so out of like date now. It's such an anachronism. Like when you try and play it nowadays, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and when you hit on that just for a quick second for people who may not know our history with you. Brandon, a.k.a. Zombie Moses, was the one that helped set this podcast up in its early inception. And him and I have been, I like to use the word friends.
It's a good word. It's a pretty good word. I'm not gonna, you know, tell you you're lying.
But you cease to amaze me, and I mean this, in the wealth of knowledge that you have. I can pass you, even if it's for...
I'm
dead serious when I say this. I could pass you just in passing maybe 30 seconds or something like that, spit out a subject for you, and you'll be able to answer. Not only that, you can answer, but you can educate me on the very subject that I brought up, such as this film itself, because I didn't know the relationship between the name. Like I told you in passing, I just went to see it, you know, just based off what I knew about Nat Turner.
Right.
And the only reason I know about Nat Turner, it wasn't through school, it's because my dad would set us aside and we would read about historical people.
Oh, yeah.
And inaccuracies within the school system. But it would not just be Nat Turner. We read all the classic novels like Shakespeare, and Moby Dick, and stuff like that. My dad would, you know, educate us a step further. But you... In your own right, it's really a cool thing when you and I talk film, and then you'll talk about your history within your course of studies. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself while you have some time, just a little background.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, film was definitely like my passion since I was in high school. I got very obsessed with it, but I thought I could make a career out of it, but you know, it's not really. People don't want somebody who just wants to write about film as much, unless you've already got like a taste of the industry. Like I'm no Ebert or anything like that, but that was definitely my like inspiration was reading, Ebert's book of like the movies you must see in your lifetime, things like that. Like they really inspired me.
Yeah,
that's sort of where I come from.
Yeah, but you also have like a very wide range of things you like, whether it's comic book related or historical facts.
Oh,
and events.
I mean,
like this.
You don't tie yourself down by genre just by bad directors. Really, like you should figure out what directors and writers you like and follow them around, because I think you're gonna be you're gonna find way more movies that way than you are if you follow your actor or you follow a genre.
So you haven't seen The Birth of a Nation, the new film written and directed
no.
by Nate Parker.
I've heard a lot of controversy now about it, about I guess Parker's relationship with like this co-writer or something, but that's pretty much all I know about the movie. And I just assumed that they must have tied it to the title, but I didn't know the exact plot of this new one.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth the price of admission and some, and I plan on doing a follow-up and seeing it again. I plan on taking my son to see it.
Yeah, I'll definitely go. I have to go see it for sure.
Yeah, and all in all, like I told you, it's as good as 12 Years a Slave. It's as good as what's the movie with Mel Gibson where he was like the warrior and had an uprising. What was it called?
Braveheart.
Yeah, it's as good as a Braveheart or any of those films. But yet it's still being it's still being kind of pushed off into a corner.
I can understand like why people are upset by it, but like I think movies can stand on their own. Like,
well, I think they're also
watch controversial directors' movies. You know,
yeah, they're
just,
also
the director isn't the movie always.
That's right. I agree with you because they're also trying to focus on Nate Parker's he was charged with rape or
it
something
was his
like that
friend or something. Yeah, and he helped. I don't know enough about the case to like get into it. I just know that it's a reason why people are boycotting the film.
Yeah, it wasn't rape. I don't have the facts either. I guess it was some sort of sexual assault, but he was cleared of it.
Yeah.
He was found innocent, but yet this is loom, or the media is choosing to have this loom over him or being the subject of
Well, I mean, like, I think focus. The media should report on it or whatever, but it's other people's choices what to, you know, make with the story.
Why should the media focus on it? Do they do that when...
I don't think focus on it, but I think they should report it along with everything else.
Well, maybe, yes, but every time there's a Roman Polanski movie come out, is it reported?
You better believe it is.
And this motherfucker's guilty.
Woody Allen gets, an article in the New York Times
every
time
there's
a movie out, like, about... you know, the pharaohs.
Because all the media wants is a story anyway, and a bump in ratings and sell a paper or a magazine.
Yeah,
so,
they want the controversy surrounding it. That's what
you can't really sweep
love.
It under the rug.
I guess the fact is it helps. In most cases, it usually helps the movie, too, to have controversy. But I guess in this case, this person in the Nation doesn't seem to be doing too well, but I'm still going to see it for sure.
You see how smart Zombie Moses is? He got me to see the other side of things. I was all ready to... engage with him, but he's right.
No, I mean, like, you're right. I'll hate when hate is due. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
No, I stand corrected. You know, you do see that, but I don't think this film is as good as, you know, I'll put it up there with Lincoln. I'll put it up there with...
he hates Lincoln, doesn't he?
Who, me?
Brandon.
No, I love Lincoln.
Oh, you
I love
did? Lincoln.
Okay. No, I'm down. I'm down with, like, the serious Spielberg movies, except for, like, maybe War Horse. That was a pretty bad one.
But on a production level, this movie, I think it was shot for, like, $7 million, something like that, 7 or 12, something like that. And it sold for at Sundance. I think it was Sundance.
It was 10.
Yeah. Look at that. Someone's trying to call me. sorry about the interruption, people. And it was sold for some, you know, triple the amount. So it made a bunch of money. And, you know, quality-wise, the actors in it, production, location, lighting, everything was grade A. I mean, it is a film to watch. And like I said, I definitely plan on seeing it again.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see it before it's out of theaters. It definitely looks like a big, like a production you got to see on the big screen.
Yeah, well, that's true. But yeah, no, I wanted to just check in with you real quick. We got to get you live back in the studio.
Yeah.
So we can mix it up.
Sure.
What else is on the horizon with you? What have you seen? What do you like?
The next movie I'm going to see is Shin Godzilla. That's what I'm about.
It looks horrible.
What? I mean, do you like Godzilla movies in general?
Or? I do, man. I grew up on Godzilla movies, man. You know who I am?
All right, see. Okay. Like, basically, this Godzilla movie is being directed by the guy who directed probably one of the most famous animes ever made, Evangelion. And so that's sort of one reason why I'm into it. But I just like the idea of, like, Godzilla treated more like a deity, kind of. That's the idea of this one, I think.
Yeah, the effects, the trailer just looks so bad. Every time I see it, I think it's a comedy because it's the shaky camera, and then all of a sudden...
Hideaki Anno is the director I was trying to remember the name of. Yeah, I mean, like, he's a big, big director of animes, so I'm excited for this because this is basically the guy's, like, first work in a long time, and it's cool that he's a live-action movie, which I don't think he's done.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to see it. I just don't know. Just because of the trailer, like I said, it's the shaky camera, which we've seen a billion times. There's chaos, and then all of a sudden, it looks like a cutout cardboard head of Godzilla that pans across the screen, and it looks, you know. Of course, yes, I grew up with Godzilla, and they're cheesy. I get that. I don't know. What do you expect from Godzilla anyway? I don't, you know.
You know what I expect?
I don't expect Lincoln.
Social commentary. No, I do expect, like, commentary on society. That's since the first Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know, it's a comment on nuclear war and disarmament and war in general. And you got to see, because you're just paying attention when Godzilla shows up on the screen. That's all you're waiting for.
Yeah.
But if you listen to the dialogue in most of these movies, it's about how bad war is and how bad, the nuclear bomb is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, see how smart he is.
Think about Think about it.
I never thought he was intelligent.
Do you see how deep this brother is? What else? What else is out, Brandon? Hip us real quick before you leave us.
I don't know. I don't know what else is out. The next movie I'm probably going to see is I think I saw you post about it. It's the Batman 1966 cartoon.
Oh man, I was beside myself when I saw this. And you know me, I don't get that hype over comics or comic book movies.
They released it in theaters, but like it was like last week, just for a day.
Yeah, no, it's Adam West, Burt Ward.
Yeah,
You know, it's animation.
It's like an animated sequel to all the Batman 1966 goofiness that was around. And yeah. It just plays into its campiness, and it's amazing.
And what's the name of that film?
I think it's called Batman Return of the Caped Crusader or something like that. I don't remember the exact title, but basically just animated Batman 1966.
Movie. It is. Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders. And it stars the great Adam West, which is worth the price of admission just listening to his voice on the trailer. So yeah, no, I'm gonna check that out. That's actually on iTunes right now. It's $20, but I'm gonna wait until it's a rental or something.
You can probably get it for like $12-14 at Target, I bet.
Yeah, I don't want to invest that much. I think I have a couple gift cards or something. I can wait.
Sure. Okay.
But no, yeah,
I'm sure it'll be on Netflix.
Let's try to get you in studio so we can maybe recap that and a few other things. But
I would love to review that once I see it.
I do appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time.
No problem, man.
Take it easy, Brandon.
You go back to doing you guys.
All right.
All right.
Brandon, aka Balter. A.K.A. Zombie Moses. I should have got how to reach him. He's Zombie Moses. Yeah, his handle. That's what I was looking for. He's Zombie Moses on Twitter. I think he's Zombie Moses on Instagram, too. But he does something on Twitch.
What's Twitch?
I think Twitch is part of the gaming community.
Oh.
So you can stream play games and all that stuff, which is a fascinating...
It's a different world.
Another conversation we need to have, definitely. So that's his music.
Oh, Brandon.
Yeah. It's good to hear
it's
from
him.
It's
been a while. Yeah.
Smart as a whip.
Okay. Yeah, he's smart.
Yeah. It's not even the same, right? Especially we're talking about Nat Turner. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Right.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice choice of words, Malcolm.
Well... You know, what are we going to do? I think we also have another...
But did you not know about the original Birth of a Nation?
I did.
Okay. Because you're a film connoisseur yourself.
I did to some greater or lesser degree, but I only have so much storage capacity available in my, my head. So sometimes I forget about, what am I going to do, I didn't make the connection. I really didn't.
I did. When you first told me the title, I was like, oh, that's like the original movie, that came out, but also in that documentary 13th, they mention it. They touch on it.
I want to watch that. You watched it?
I watched half of it. Yeah, I'm gonna watch the rest of it soon. But it's intense.
And what's the name of it?
13th.
By who?
Oh man,
it's Avery.
DuVernay.
Yeah, DuVernay.
Is that her name? DuVernay.
Yeah, she did Selma. She's quite the director.
Yeah.
Very deep and very passionate. And very calculated on the subject matter that she crafts in her art.
Yeah.
And that's a documentary that's streaming on Netflix right now. I mean, Netflix is really on fire, you know? I mean, all of the – pretty much any television, network, whether it be on cable or streaming, is just doing very well. Netflix with Luke Cage, it's been the – it's been a buzz on the internet.
I feel like TV now is trying to catch up or keep up with Netflix because Netflix is a little more open, and they're a little more open-minded with what they're putting on. There's less restrictions in terms of language and just content and subjects and things like that. And I think they're doing a great job. People are definitely watching more Netflix than they are television.
Well, I don't know, man. I've been watching this television show called Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. What do we watch? Oh, that's on it's on the app.
No, that's on FX. I mean, you can watch it. I think it comes on Tuesdays on FX. Don't hold my feet to the fire on that. But Atlanta... also written and directed, written and starring Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino.
Yeah, I didn't know his name was Donald Glover.
No, I love that. That guy is very clever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Very smart, the way he writes and crafts each episode. The episodes are only 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
So it's a quick fix. When it takes you 30 minutes to find something most of the time when you're streaming or channel surfing. do yourself a favor and watch Atlanta. So it's basically about a group of youths, you know, in the Atlanta area. I'm not even going to say inner. I don't like that word, inner city. You know what I mean? Donald Trump uses that word a lot. Like only black people live in the inner city, but you're in Hotlanta. You're in Atlanta. You know what I mean? They got jobs. You know, one of them's an MC, a rapper, Paperboy, and played by Paperboy's dope. Paperboy played by Brian Tyree Henry. This dude right here, man, he is so what's the word? Animated with his expression. He just reminds me of cousins of mine. You know, it reminds me. Every one of the characters on there reminds me of just family.
It's very good acting in that too. Yeah,
writing is just—it's stellar. It's the shit. Yeah. That's probably my favorite program, I think.
Right now,
I think so.
That's okay.
I mean, I don't watch a lot.
You're like shocked by that statement that you just made.
No, not at all. I mean, there's this right here is just it's easily my favorite. I'm bummed that it's only 30 minutes long.
Yeah, it does feel kind of short now.
But it says right here, two cousins with different views on art versus commerce on their way up through the Atlanta rap scene. So one is Donald Glover plays a college dropout who, of course, hooks up with his cousin, Paperboy, becomes his manager.
Yeah.
With no experience.
Right. You know, but clever.
Oh, my God. You know, it's kind of like our version of, well, our version of, what's the one, HBO, Entourage, kind of. You know what I mean? Entourage. I think so.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, I never...
With the soulful
Entourage
style.
I liked it for a while and then...
Yeah.
Meh.
How many times can you keep doing the same shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get just, that.
Yeah.
I get that.
It was a little long.
Oh.
Too long of a
I enjoy seeing more, diverse entertainment forms. You know, whether it's, what is it, 13... You got 13th directed by, a strong sister. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got Luke Cage. You know what I mean? Luke Cage.
I love the way that show looks.
Women love him and men want to be him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, he's just smooth.
Yeah. There's a lot of smooth people in that show.
Yeah. Everyone's just, just shining. And it
beautiful.
Looks, oh my God, it's, you know.
But people still hate. People well, are still
it's
hating.
It's all black cast, yeah. You know what I mean? It's a
so
superhero.
Ridiculous.
It's the same thing with Nat Turner. I mean, of course people are going to cringe because if you look at the evildoers of the film, you know, it's these.
White people.
Well, also society itself, you know what I mean? What we talked about. What was the norm? What did people do? Some stayed silent. Some embraced that era. Some cheered. But people died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Savagely.
Millions of people died for years on end. Not just the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s.
Still today.
1800s, the 1900s, and on. It's you know... It's something to say, and I listen to, if you guys get a chance, check out The Breakfast Club. Just Google it or go to YouTube, The Breakfast Club, kind of a better version of this podcast. It's a radio show where they interview, everyone from hip-hop stars, singers, dancers, MCs, directors, actors, you name it. So Nate Parker was on The Breakfast Club, and, you know, he goes all in. You know, he addresses everything on this show, unedited. And I made a couple notes. I'll play
Look
a couple.
Look at you.
Well.
Preparation.
Not really. This is him talking about kind of the importance of the narrative of the film itself and our culture, but also the similarities between that time, sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but we've got a monitor playing and Dumb and Dumber is playing in the background. So the studio is equipped with all sorts of technology, people. But Nate Parker is talking about the similarities between past and present
okay.
In this clip right here.
position to see ourselves and how I may be a part of the solution
right.
to change the narrative around who we are as a people. I mean, dude, we live in New York, right? Like, mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time here, right? We've been so turned against each other as, you know, Black and Dominican and Puerto Rican and Cuban. The reality is we're all part of the diaspora, right? Like, and it takes someone giving us that narrative. We mm-hmm. don't know, we don't know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If we don't know, we attach to the oppressor. Like, no, I'm from Spain. Like, do you know what Spain did to us?
Or,
systematically? You know what I mean? I'm French. Well, you know what the French did to us? You know what they did to Toussaint and Dessalines? Do you even mm-hmm. know the history? Mm-hmm. Once you know the story, just your whole mentality around it all changes. So this is like, dude, like I said, like Denmark V's, there were people before Nat Turner that inspired Nat Turner, I believe. Mm-hmm. This is just one story.
Right. And even watching this afterwards, you feel like you can apply a lot of different things to what's going on.
That's right.
Even today, I walked out of there and I was like, wow, there's just so many things that you see mm-hmm. when you watch Birth of a Nation, that mm-hmm. what's going on in the news today, what's going on in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that you were on T.D. Jakes
mm-hmm.
and you spoke about the first police officers were mm-hmm. overseers.
That's right. Well, yeah, first police officers were slave catchers. They were called paddy rollers.
Who you belong to, boy?
Yeah, they go straight. They go through the plantation. It's funny how, like, when you have context, you just think differently, right? Mm-hmm. So look, the first police officers, right, once in South Carolina, mm-hmm. their job was to go in between the plantations and make sure nobody was wandering or deserted or ran. And if they caught someone, sometimes they just kill them. Or sometimes they bring them back and beat them publicly, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you fast forward to 2016, you look at our communities, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times in our communities, we're fine. But if you drop, I mean, no, I came up Tidewater Park. In Tidewater Park, you're in between that. I mean, there's people that haven't left the neighborhood mm-hmm. in years. Why? Mm-hmm. What happens if you leave the plantation? That's, as soon as you cross that street, you're pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
Where you going? Where's your past?
What you doing in this neighborhood? Mm-hmm.
What you doing in this neighborhood? Mm-hmm. Right? So if we can understand the damaged relationship between us and law enforcement back then we have context as to right now in 2016. And we're not saying, oh, a couple bad apples. We're saying, no, something systemic has happened.
Direct correlation.
Direct correlation. You're
driving the wrong neighborhood if you want to as a Black man. See if they don't ask you for your pass.
Yeah, if they don't ask you for your pass. And then get out of the car, get the F on the curb.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game. You know, but if you have that context, right, then you can deal with it in a way that's made more progressive rather than saying there are a couple bad cops. You know, I for one, and people may disagree with this, I don't think a cop wakes up and says, man, I hope I can kill me today. Excuse my language.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, but... They're taught and conditioned to believe,
absolutely.
Black ones and white ones, mm-hmm. taught and conditioned to believe that when you see someone of color, they are presumed dangerous and guilty.
A bad guy.
Yeah.
A bad guy, mm-hmm. dangerous, or they call it criminal policing. I had a police tell me, he was like, dude, we went in the good neighborhoods. That is administrative policing. You know what I'm saying? We see someone, hello, how are you, sir? How are you, ma'am? Can you please? He was like, but when we in the jungle, and he said the word jungle, but just because it's like in him, it's the mm-hmm. hunt. It's criminal policing. You know, you on probation, you know what I'm saying?
Get
on
your
own parole, get on the curb.
Right.
But it's a mentality. And that same mentality says, make it home no matter what.
Right.
Protect yourself.
Think about that.
No matter what. All of that is passed down. All that fear, like all of this trauma that we're feeling is directly connected to the worst period in American history that we do like this. Mm-hmm. Cognitive dissonance.
Blinders. Blinders. Think about that. I mean, it takes my breath away, but... Think about everything that was just said, you know?
Yeah. Makes
that connection. And not only that, the fact that we, you know, and I'm speaking as a parent, we don't go to the school system to demand that this is taught, that our children know about this era. We just kind of like, you know, that was then, that's the past. If you ever hear people talk about the civil rights movement, that's the past, everything's equal now. No, this was not that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
Still in effect. When Donald Trump is running around talking about the situation, what's going on in the inner city, granted, the inner city isn't just Black people, but the way he's positioning it, the way he's narrating his story onto millions of people, it's Black people and it's a Black problem that's coming over and bleeding into our neighborhoods. We are the ones that are fearful. No, motherfucker, Black people are fearful. We were put in that position and have to deal with it.
Yeah.
What the... I'm telling you, there is a... And there's a narrative that the people in power, it's not just... Maybe the majority is white people. Maybe it is. It is. It is what it is. I mean, there's no bojangling, there's no tap dancing around it, right?
Mm.
But there's a narrative that's been in play And there's a conditioning that's been in play, and we've talked about it on this podcast since the beginning, that isn't changing. Doesn't matter who's president. Doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama. Doesn't matter who it is. There is a power, and I don't even want to say a greater power because that doesn't really make it great. But there's a system at play that we need to identify it. And I don't know this for a fact, but when I saw Michael Moore's last film and he was talking about Germany and how in Germany you can walk down the street and see the names of the Holocaust victims, where it's always in your mind, where they acknowledge the wrongdoing, mm-hmm. and it's there. There's monuments, and there no is there a Nat Turner statue anywhere? I don't know. I challenge anyone to look it up and find out. But are there any outside of if you go to a museum? But how many places in Virginia you didn't even know that Nat Turner was his story happened 3 hours away from where the studio is?
Yeah, I didn't know.
You know?
I didn't know it was Virginia.
They don't even teach about him in school. I got to teach my son about Malcolm X. I got to teach my son about Nat Turner. I got to teach my son about Angela Davis. I got to teach my son, you know, about Emmett Till.
It's weird.
I got to teach my son about Megger Evers. I got to, you know what I mean? So you, people in the community are the ones that need to be responsible and make sure that these stories are told. And we need to hold up, brother. Nate Parker up and support him and his film. He had to go out in this interview. I'm telling you, tonight, when you have time, it's less than 50 minutes long, the interview. Google The Breakfast Club, listen to the whole interview. And the brother, man, he put it all on the line. You know what I mean? He went and knocked on doors asking for money. He borrowed. He gave up. The soundtrack is dope. He's got everyone from Nas on there, and basically he couldn't pay them, so he gave them percentages of the movie. He didn't take anything. He put $100,000 of his money up, and he had to, you know, he's not making any. You know, hopefully he's going to see some residual, but you know, chances are, who
just
knows?
Wanted to get it out there. He wanted to get the story out there,
and it shows. It shows in his art. Yeah, I get worked up even just thinking about it. Thinking about it from a historical standpoint and an artistic standpoint of telling the legacy and the story of Nat Turner. I mean, you know, again, I didn't, as a child, and I'm talking about as a child, that's what my old man sat me down to talk about. Then, you know, I remember going through middle school to high school, not a word. No one ever talk up Nat Turner until the X-Clan came out in hip-hop. Mm. And X-Clan was the ones talking about Nat Turner. And if you don't know who X-Clan is, I'm not going to tell you to leave. I'm not going to do that because I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd. I'm trying, like Sam Jackson said. I'm not going to do like I used to do, just leave Earth. Just Google them. Google X-Clan. It's knowledge.
Learn.
It's knowledge. And they were spitting it in the 80s, 88 and 89, you know? And then again, you had that period. Okay, you had that period in hip hop where no one talked about Nat Turner, and it just went into the gangster era. Mm. You know what I mean? Where the overseers and the powers that be controlled that format, which is pretty much lasted until now. The reason why I brought up the soundtrack, if you listen to the soundtrack of The Birth of a Nation, mm-hmm. you have Nas Escobar on it, you have Lil Wayne on it, you have 2 Chainz on it, not known for being socially aware on their albums, mm-hmm. the whole album. Nate Parker orchestrated the whole thing, and all of it is on message. Let me tell you something that's more dangerous than a gun, more dangerous than a knife or an axe or a nuclear bomb is a free-thinking man. Mm. Not only that, a free-thinking black man. Nothing more threatening than that. And there's a reason why, and I'm not going to go off into a tangent about hip-hop and the reason, but there's a reason why the conscious era of hip-hop was stunted. You know what I mean? There's a reason why it was stopped. You know what I mean? There's a bigger play. And if you control that narrative that we are a threat in a physical form, and if you are depicted in Hollywood is a certain way, then someone in Iowa, someone in Nebraska, someone in Mississippi, someone in even upstate New York is going to be fearful of you for no reason. Or even if you're not depicted, how many times do I go into a movie and when I come back, what do you hear me say?
No black people.
That's right. You can have a whole show, whether it's a television show like Seinfeld, whether it's a show, any television show from the 80s and 90s and so on, where you can go in New York and you not see any people of color, not just black people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No Puerto Ricans, no Latinos, no gay people. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, it's the world that's being crafted. World that's being made by these powers. And that's their narrative, where you don't exist. It doesn't have to be black people. It can be women or, you know, it can be Muslims. How many times through the 90s, how many times were Muslims depicted as terrorists? All through the 90s. And they weren't even, you know what I mean? They didn't even use Arabs. They used Indians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I know.
But it's accepted. Why? Because they got the juice. Yeah. But now we got the juice. We got shows like Atlanta. We got shows like Blackish. But we have to make sure we put that back in and we invest in brothers like Nate Parker to make these films. And not only that, we have to go, I really think, and maybe this is being done, we have to make sure that we take that money and we buy our own land to build studios. You know what I mean? To build.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, before. I mean, there's plenty of land out there. There's plenty. There's areas that's being bought up by the Chinese as we speak. Downtown Detroit is being bought up by the Chinese. Beverly Hills has been bought up by Chinese, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of places in Africa too that are being.
Come on, man. There's a reason. There are people that aren't thinking about the here and now. They're thinking about 1,000 years from now, and who's going to own that?
Yeah. People don't very think the long term. Yeah.
That's the commitment.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, people. I got worked up. I don't even know if any of that stuff made sense. But of course, like I said, the film itself is being somewhat marginalized or overshadowed.
Is it being played in a lot of theaters or no? Is it like.
It is, but it's not really being advertised, I don't think.
No. Barely.
So.
Interesting. Well,
yeah, and just, you know, the controversy surrounding that sexual assault. And I don't even want to get into that, again, because I don't know the facts. But I know, you know, he was found innocent. And like I said, even with Roman Polanski, if you take Charlie Chaplin, if you take, you know, Jerry Seinfeld wasn't charged. But I mean, my God, he was dating a 17-year-old at the height of his show. No big deal, right? You got, what's the dude's name? Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe was caught with an underage girl, on videotape with an underage girl. Now he's running around talking about, I wish I had time to even go on a computer, but it pissed me off a couple weeks ago because he's embraced. Now, yeah, I get it.
They just roasted him, didn't they?
I get it. Time passes and people do evolve. I'm with that. I'm with second chances. But I mean, goddamn, if you're going to do it for Rob motherfucking Lowe, you know what I mean?
It's weird.
I want you to celebrate Brother Nate. Nate. How you keep wanting to call him Nat. But it's Nate. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where's the love? It's a hypocrisy that runs deep, people. Right?
True story.
Right? And he addresses that. Let me see if I can find this clip.
In that interview?
Yeah.
It's crafted in such a way that it makes it very difficult to go against the everyday norms of life.
Now, I honestly don't know who's demonizing you at this point, because I see it from all angles. Because I'm going to tell you a story. I remember maybe a month before I saw the movie, had an OG, triple OG in the game hit me up, and he goes, look, we got to support this film. He said they're going to try to crucify Nate Parker.
Yeah.
And then 2-3 weeks later, all the different allegations came out. It was, oh, he got a white wife. It was, oh, he's homophobic. It was, oh, he has rape charges. Did you expect that to happen?
Let's just say I was warned early on by, you know, people in the industry, people that love me, people that I love, that just said, you know, are you ready for what may come with this film? You know, it's like, look, you know, how you rediscover something you already knew? I've never hid anything from my life. I never ran from nobody in my life. And I'm not going to run now. No one's going to stop me from telling stories that I think uplift my people. They're just not going to do it. You know, it can come for me. That's okay. I'm a grown up. I'm a man. I'm so anchored in the Lord, bro. My faith is so strong that I'm not tripping. I know the power of Nat Turner and what he can do for our people, what he can do for America. What happens if we start celebrating Nat Turner as a hero in this country? What? You know, look, the African American Museum just opened. Nat Turner's Bible, right? George Bush said, you know, Nat Turner. George Bush said it out of his mouth. Like, what happens if it becomes normal to celebrate everyone of every color that has contributed to the narrative of this country?
Right.
Things will change. Privilege will be challenged, but things will change.
Does it piss you off, though? Because we were watching your Good Morning America interview. And you look like, all right, enough is enough.
You look like you want to scream, put some respect on my name.
Yeah, like, right. Enough of Nate Parker. All right, like, because they showed some of the stuff that you went through when you were in college. You look like, come on now.
I'll just say this. My post is out there. I'll probably get in trouble. It was an ambush, you know,
It looked like an ambush. It looked like you didn't know what was going to be on the screen.
Happened.
It looked like, what the
fuck? Look, you know, because this is bigger than me. Nat Turner is so much bigger than me. Mm-hmm. Like, in my 36-year-old life, and anything you could ever dig up or whatever. Nat Turner? Mm-hmm. A film about Nat Turner exists and is going to drop on Friday? Like, for real?
I don't believe it.
Exactly. Until you go to the theater and you see that title card, right. It's even hard for me to believe. Mm-hmm. Like, when every morning I pray and I'm in, like, a devotional space, I'm like, Lord, thank you. I'm not playing the victim. I'm not crying. I'm not walking around sad at all. I'm rejoicing every day because the film exists.
Did you feel like it would be in jeopardy at any point?
The film?
Yeah, just with everything coming up.
Like, I think I could let it keep playing, but I think you guys get the gist of it. Like, yeah. I said, just do yourself a favor. I mean, if you want to know more about the man, you want to know more about his passion and his art, I mean, it's worth the watch.
It's funny that he doesn't think that. It's like he made it, but then he's like still surprised that it exists, but he's just proud that it's out there, you know?
Yeah, so. It's got to feel good.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to feel good,
he
no
should
doubt.
Be proud.
The film is so well done. I mean, I stayed all the way through the credits. I mean, I was in the theater watching it.
How packed was the theater?
It wasn't. You know me, I am early bird, so it's like... You know, I would love to see. When I take Justin, I think we're going to go in the evening time or something like that. But there were definitely people in there, and you know, I would gasp.
Any white people?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I get into a film, and you know, I would gasp. I yelled at the film a couple times. You know, I clapped. I cheered. Probably the only person in there. You know what I mean? Mm. Because you know, look at what you're cheering. Those people look just like them. You know what I mean? So when they fell, yeah, of course I cheered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many times people have cheered, you know, in many a movies? You know what I mean? But these brothers and sisters that were being raped and killed, you know, they look like my brothers and sisters. They look like my uncles. They look like my cousins. And they were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, and it's graphic. It's hard to watch. It's a tough film to watch. You know what I mean? I just, you know, the raping of the women, this raping of children. You know what I mean? Yeah, the lynching, you know, shooting you slaves in the head. Just like you said, you get pulled over back. It was, you know, horse and buggy, or you're on a horse and you're on foot. And, you know, if you're, there's one scene where the law was you can't be more than 10 feet from a tree.
Okay.
Without your master or something without your paper or something like that. And she got raped for that and beaten. You know,
ridiculous.
Think about that for a minute. That was acceptable. That was law. I don't know if that was law in, like, you know, written or whatnot, maybe, you know, but it was street law. You know, if you spoke up, if you looked the white man in the eye,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all in the film. It's all in books. It's all in history, but it's not taught. You know what I mean? And it's definitely not taught that Nat Turner is a hero in school.
No.
Think about that, man. Hmm?
Hmm. Yeah, well, then, I mean, you know, as a parent, you should definitely do what you can to teach actual history. That's the thing. Or at least teach children to look into and educate themselves on certain things that they don't get in school.
Definitely. You know? Let me play this last clip about revolution and Nat Turner. This is Nate Parker.
Power, we have social media.
But that's not like the same old song. Social media is not, but everything else sounds like the same.
No, 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 watch this. Watch this. Nat Turner.
So what he's talking about is, here, let me back it up a little bit. Oops.
Let's be on something different. And he says it almost in code. He speaks in code through the word in a way that people start shouting and speaking in tongues and praising. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was a.
So he's talking about Nat Turner, because Nat Turner would go to these various plantations and preach to the slaves, and they used the Bible, they used religion as a way to control their slaves. So they're like, oh, well, we have a slave who actually understands and knows how to read the Bible, but Nat Turner, of course, was giving messages, you know, at the same time. But I mean, it was hard for him to watch, because if you went from his plantation where they were treated a certain way, quote unquote good, you know what I mean? You go to another one, like I said, they took a brother, they took the chisel, they took the hammer because he wasn't eating, and they knocked out his mouth with it, every tooth, and then shoved a funnel down his throat and poured some slop down there to make him eat. I mean, think about that. They treat dogs better than they do human beings. To this day, I can see a dog being pushed around in a motherfucking carriage. I saw a dog at a store recently sitting on a chair. Nuts. All sprawled out. You know what I mean? Treat dogs. And you go out here right now and you see a homeless person, you'll drive right by him. You'll walk right over him. You know what I mean? You won't give him a piece of bread. You won't give him a coin. You won't do anything. I don't care what color he is. Yep. Kidding me? Sorry about that.
We did it in one take, because we didn't have a lot of time, but we did it in one take, but it spoke to me because I felt like we need to sing a new song.
Right.
You know, in 2016, if we keep doing the same thing, if the next 50 years, like the last 50 years, we are toast, bro.
So are you, I don't want to say concerned, that this movie will cause some type of revolt now? Because this could be a dangerous time to put this movie out.
Let me be clear, all right?
It's a quote of this.
I hope it makes people uncomfortable. I hope that it inspires a riotous disposition. Mm. Now, do I want violence? Absolutely not. We're above that now. Why do we need to be violent when we got journalists, we got radio personalities that have power, we have social media?
But that's not like the same old song. Social media is not, but everything else sounds like the same old song.
Watch this. Nat Turner had axe handles and broomsticks, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't have the right to assemble. So what does that mean? That means what we're doing right now in this room would have been illegal and we would all have been lynched.
Right. Mm.
Well, we do have a white man in the room.
He's Cuban. He's Cuban.
Oh, good. I couldn't see your whole face. Good. As soon as I said that, he was like,
"No,
you're wrong." I am Pitbull. But we didn't have the right to assemble. Right. It's right here, dead. Right?
Right.
Nat Turner, out of that, only tools he had. His only reaction, he couldn't have been like, I'm calling a meeting. Everybody on the plantation, we going to strike.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We going to protest and walk around the main house. Like, he couldn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. So he fought and the tools he had. You look now, right? The power we have, you look at like Colin Kaepernick. Like, I always say when athletes get involved, it's a wrap. Like, things are going to change because we're messing with the money. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's so many, if nothing else, they walk out of that film and says, I'm going to use my occupation to spearhead the systemic crisis I see in my own life, mm-hmm. my own community, things will change immediately. Does that mean marching? Maybe. Does it mean more than marching? Does it mean some people saying, nah, I ain't going to do that? I'm going to walk into my producer and tell him, I'm not saying that thing ever again. Mm-hmm. What? And sacrificing because I might get fired. You know, is it whatever your occupation?
That's the thing.
What is your contribution?
Sacrificing.
The biggest difference, I believe, between the civil rights movement of old and the civil rights movements of new is that people aren't willing to die.
Same.
Anything that's ever done anything for our community that actually resulted in progress had to take a bullet to their head.
So think about that. Sacrifice, not sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice? Right? When he says he hopes there's a revolt, we don't want to go door to door and kill anyone. Black people, Latino people, transsexual people, transgender people, gay people, women, we all want the same thing. We want equality. We want a fair shake. We don't want to burn down buildings and create chaos and mayhem. No one wants that. Black people want the same thing their neighbor wants. You know what I mean? But if we're being lynched, if we're being killed, if you're seeing it every day on social media, what the fuck do you think is going to happen? Huh? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think I'm just going to let you burn me? You think I'm just going to let you shoot me, my brothers, my sisters, my mother? Come on, man. What do you think is going to happen? But we don't want that. No one wants that. No one in their right mind wants that. A revolt can happen in many different forms, like he just, like Nate Parker just said, it can come on a financial level. You got to hit these people in the pockets. You got to shut down.
That's usually where people listen. Yeah, now
you got to shut it down. You got to shut down those department stores. You got to shut down Louis Vuitton. You got to shut down Cristal, like was done by Jay-Z. You got to shut down these organizations. But then you also have to take responsibility and see it through. You got to stay the course, no matter what the cost. Even if you don't make a record, even if you don't make another movie. You know what I mean? Even if you do lose your job, how far are you willing to go? That's the point. And that's what may appear to be lacking from time to time. But there are brothers out there that are committed. And I think he's one of those beacons, one of those inspirational, I think, persons that, you know, he speaks truth to power. I don't know. I believe him, and I believe his art, and I believe what he stands for, and I believe his story that he's been telling. Let's see if we can get Brother Sam Riddle on the blower, because I think he wanted to run some stuff. If we can get two calls and one podcast, and I'm doing pretty good on time, that's not too shabby. That's not too shabby. I don't have theme music for maybe I should play whatchamacallit was playing in the studio earlier. What was the album? It was playing.
Which one?
One of the best albums ever made.
Bill Withers?
Bill Withers. Huh? Maybe I should do that for his theme song, but I'll figure it out. We're just going to get him on the blower real quick and see what's been happening in the world of Detroit. See if we can get him. God knows what we're going to get.
Hello.
Sam Riddle, Malcolm. I'm on air.
Yeah.
I'm on air with...
Okay. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Okay. Just let us know. Let us know.
What's going on here?
You in a place to talk?
Are you on the air?
Man, we're on the air. I'm sitting here with Mariam Tazi.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I'm doing something with WVON in Chicago at the same time, but we're not on the air, but it's all good. What's up?
Multitasking. So we were just talking about the birth of a nation and, you know, some of the controversy around that, but just in general, the importance of telling the story of Nat Turner and what you thought.
Well, you know, Malcolm, many years ago, it was in the 1980s, I was writing for some Virginia newspapers, one right there in Fauquier County in Warrenton, Virginia. And I was writing articles, and I was a columnist. And one of the articles I wrote about Nat Turner and how Virginia should establish a memorial for this freedom fighter instead of insulting black Americans with the proliferation of Civil War memorials to the likes of the Grey Ghost, for example, the highways named after the Civil War traitors to America. I mean, the thing about the Confederate military is that it was sedition, pure and simple, traitors to America. They attempted to tear apart the Union, yet throughout Virginia there are all these highways named after these Confederate traitors to America. And what I posted in my column was that why don't we name and do a full-fledged memorial in memory of Nate Turner, a freedom fighter in Virginia, a man that stood strong against slavery. Well, I got to tell you, there were some professors that attacked me like mad. You would have never believed that a film, Birth of a Nation, could give some version of the story of Nate Turner.
Yeah.
And I was just glad to see it, because if there was ever an American freedom fighter, it's Nate Turner. Now, some folks in Virginia don't like that, because their position is that Nate Turner killed white folks. Now, they neglect to mention that freedom fighters kill every day around the world fighting for freedom. They neglect to mention that George Washington was a freedom fighter. Thomas Jefferson was a freedom fighter. And the point I'm making is that in struggles for freedom, people necessarily die so that others may be free in the state of oppression and the shackles of oppression and slavery may be removed. And Nate Turner was a freedom fighter.
Yeah.
But those folks in Virginia, they held steadfast. I mean, even today you see the statues and the monuments to Robert E. Lee, to the Gray Ghost over there in Warrenton, Virginia, which hit him while the Union Army looked for him. What was that guy's name? Mosby, John Mosby.
Oh, yeah.
The Gray Ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys were traitors to America.
Yeah. No, I went into it. I recently went into a restaurant, and there's a portrait, me being in the wine business. I walked into this restaurant to sell him some wine. There's a big portrait of Robert E. Lee, and I looked at the brother that worked as the, I guess he's like one of the managers there, bar manager, and I said, is that Robert motherfucking E. Lee? You know what I mean? And he's like, yeah. I was like, and that thing just hangs there.
Those folks are still fighting the Civil War. I mean, and make no mistake about it. I mean, they will hit you in the head with something when you start challenging. It's just like when we challenged Kid Rock's use of the Confederate flag here in Detroit. Folks had a fit about that. But Mary Barra, the number one person at General Motors, invited us into her offices on that floor where she is, and we met with her people to talk about General Motors severing its relationship with Kid Rock. Took nearly a year, but Kid Rock doesn't have that contract with General Motors and Chevrolet trucks anymore. That was us, those of us with the National Action Network, myself and our Michigan president, Reverend Charles Williams, went up there and negotiated and held discussions at the highest level of General Motors. Now, Nat Turner is being ostracized today, the film, Birth of a Nation, where mainstream media would rather talk about it as a financial flop, bring up the personal life of Nat Turner, I'm sorry, Nate Parker, the producer, who is, you know, never convicted of the rape charges that they like to bring up, but using that as a front to try to get people to stop from seeing this film, Birth of a Nation. Let me tell you, in Detroit, in the Detroit area, a lot of folks, albeit black folks, are going to see that film. And I'll tell you something, mainstream media would rather attack filmmaker Nate Parker than deal with the American shame of slavery and what drove freedom fighters to commit the acts that Nat Turner engaged in to fight his state of oppression and slavery, much like John Brown did. Because the only thing slaveholders understand is breaking the shackles of slavery through violence. You can't negotiate your way out of slavery. You got to fight your way out of slavery. That's the Civil War. I mean, there was a battle. Four American lives, on the whole, were lost during the Civil War than any other war that America has ever fought in. And I say that because mainstream media would rather attack a filmmaker than deal with the American shame and the issues raised by the American shame of slavery. But the easy way out is to say don't go see it. Because you don't want to deal with the issues raised by the film. As to the historical accuracy, I go to the movies not seeking the ultimate in historical accuracy in any film. I just buy movies. Now, someone else who may have even in black America, who may have a problem with the authenticity of Birth of a Nation, if you got a problem with what Parker did with the film, make your own damn film.
That's it.
And get out of the way. Pass the popcorn.
That's it. That's it. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that. No, I love the film. I'm going to see it again.
No, I just...
If I had students I could take and encourage to go see it, I will do that. You know, I teach a course over at the college here, Wayne County Community College District, on tapping into the media. But I can see why folks would have told Parker, don't make the film. You know, American history is not Disneyland.
No.
That's true.
It's not Snow White. American history is Disney, is the Disney world where alligators drag little kids into the water and drown them and kill them.
That's
what slavery did. Slavery was an act of genocide against an entire race of people. The effects of being, of which are still felt centuries later.
Yeah.
So, you know, just because you don't like your history, don't denigrate a filmmaker. You know, nobody's ragging on Polanski.
Nope.
A known pedophile. Woody Allen banged his daughter, stepdaughter, buried her. Ain't ragging on him. Brother makes a film about a guy that got tired of being a slave, quacked a slave master and a few neighbors. Bad deal. No, slavery was the bad deal,
that's
asshole.
It. That's it.
Yeah, you're completely right.
No, yeah, we are in agreement, and
I don't mean to get warmed up.
You and Malcolm sound exactly the same. You guys had the same thoughts about all of this, and it's very true. Like, it's just, it's all twisted. It's all twisted.
But, and it's twisted as long as we allow it to be twisted. If we allow them to make us think we shouldn't see a film because of the personal flaws of the filmmaker, very few films will get made because there is no perfect, in a moral sense, filmmaker on the planet. Yeah. They just don't exist. And it's not to excuse anything that the filmmakers may have done or not done. But don't ask me to wallow in your hypocrisy and your contradictions. I want to see Birth of a Nation again. I will see Birth of a Nation again. I will eat too much popcorn, probably drink the damn pop, and I really don't like the pop. Kind of makes my stomach swell. But, I mean, I'll go see it again anyway. And America needs to deal with the shame and deal with the issue of reparations for the slaves upon whose backs and free labor the American economy was built. You see, they don't want to deal with the issues around slavery because when you deal with that, you have to deal with how America enriched itself with the genocidal existence of slavery and how you built the American economy on the backs of the free labor of slaves. No one wants to deal with it. They'll say, well, I didn't do that. That was a long time ago. So was the Holocaust.
Yeah, I mean, look what they did to the Native Americans. And they're not even
in the conversation. Obviously, because of my bloodline, I feel very close to that because we are, the DNA is clearly indigenous. And the indigenous people were also subjected to genocide. The shame of what built America is what can make America strong once America acknowledges the flaws in the creation of what is the mightiest nation on the planet. Deal with it.
Yeah, no, we're definitely in agreement on that. And go ahead.
And you know, I see that some professor at Ohio State, black professor, I think, has written about the fact, she didn't like the way black women were portrayed in the film. And make your own damn movie. Truth of the matter is that there can be power in silence. I mean, you know, that isn't a sexist position I take. The filmmaker makes the film from the perspective of the filmmaker. Art is art because the artist is free to do what the hell they want to. Not to meet your academic book standards, which, you know, nobody even takes your damn class probably.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like I said, I went into it based on what I knew about Nat Turner, and that's just based on what you had us read when we were children, but also, you know, just from an entertainment standpoint. I go to the movies like clockwork, much like you, and I looked at it from through that lens, and I thought that the film itself, you know, was just as good as Lincoln, just as good as 12 Years a Slave, and matter of fact, I think I enjoyed it much more. So yeah, I'm going to see it again, and I plan on taking my son.
And you know, because 30 years ago or yep. so, I was writing articles about it, ironically, in a small town Virginia paper, and I was criticized by a Virginia professor, college professor.
They didn't want to hear it.
I, of course, got a kick out of it.
Yeah, they didn't want it. They weren't hearing that stuff 30 years ago, and the fact that it you know, even. Nate Parker said, you know, he's still amazed that it was made, that he was able to get the funding to get yeah. it produced when everyone told him yeah. no.
Absolutely. But I'm glad you're hitting it, nailing it here on your podcast, and stay in touch. And it's been great speaking with both of you guys. And we'll be around and available for whatever, whenever.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, man. Take it easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah.
Sam Riddle.
It's funny how you guys, he wasn't in the conversation, but he was basically like saying the same thing.
Sam Riddle, a.k.a. Sam, a.k.a. my dad, political director of the National Action Network, NANN. Yeah, they're, and then we were just talking about with Kid Rock and the whole Confederate flag. Everyone was against him. When he was protesting that, mm-hmm. and what is it? What this is what we were just talking about before he took the call. They were committed, yeah. and it took them a year. But Kid Rock isn't waving that flag, nor is he waving that flag and working and being endorsed by GM.
Yep.
So what's your commitment? Do you give up the first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
But he's also not doing it with violence. He's doing it with words and education and absolutely. Articles. You know what I mean?
And they're like, staying the course.
Right.
And a lot of people laugh at people like this. A lot of people denounce them, dismiss them. You know what I mean? Write them off as dinosaurs living in the past. You know, they say all sorts. I see a lot of stuff on social media feeds, and not just with the National Action Network or anyone affiliated with that, but many groups, whether it's the NAACP or whomever it may be. You know, the quick thing to do is try to discredit them.
Yeah, and also distract, them. You yeah. know, from yeah. the actual and truth. You
the
know?
Narrative, the control in the narrative, and who controls that. So that's why I said, you know, pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to the films that are being produced. When I come in and when I say, you know, there's no black people, I don't just mean Africans. I don't mean Americans from African descent. You know what I mean? I mean, again, like I said, I mean Arab, Muslim Americans, Indians, Native Americans, Latino Americans. When you're taken out from the media, you know what I mean? When you're taken out of that picture and someone else is creating that universe – you cease to exist.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's easier for them to, you know, put you in a corner or to even, as they are doing now, it's easier to not humanize you. So when you are killed, it's the norm. Yeah, it's not just no big deal. No big deal. But
it
we're going to make it
a big deal.
Yeah, we're going to stay on. We're going to stay on subject. We're going to stay on message like Nate Parker. And we're not going to quit. We're gonna continue that commitment. I think it's important.
Agreed.
Huh?
Agreed.
Huh?
Okay.
That's what's up. So, yeah, big ups to Sam Riddle. And you can find him on Facebook under Sam Riddle. I think there's an alias. There was an imposter. Someone tried to create a page. I think he's also at Sam Riddle on Twitter. I think he has an Instagram handle as well. I don't know if this cat is on Snapchat, but you know,
it's too many.
Yeah, I can't deal with it. I've kind of eased back into social media on some aspect of things, but I'm walking with caution, Mariam Tazi.
I've always done that. So,
well, I mean, you know, it is the fastest way to connect, and I think I just need to focus on that and stuff. I don't want to see. I can you know,
ignore.
I can. Yeah, I can like make it go
block
away
or
somehow,
whatever.
But mm-hmm. You know, I got issues with all of these tracking devices that they are using to
it's usually used for, like, it's usually used against you.
Collect data.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's all I got. That's where we're, that's our message for today. Mariam Tazi.
Interesting podcast today. I like it.
Yeah. I went off the top. I had a couple things I had in mind, but I didn't know how I was going to, you know, whenever we come off of like a couple weeks, it's a little,
you think you're rusty? I think you did good. I like it.
Endorsed, people.
I'm just saying, not that I'm biased or anything.
So like I said, you guys got some homework to do. Google the Breakfast Club. Check out Nate Parker.
Yeah, Birth of a Nation, 13th. There's a lot of stuff out there.
I'm going to watch the 13th. I might try to watch that tonight. Yeah, man, it's a interesting time, and a lot of information is being shared on an entertainment aspect of it, but also socially. And, you know, you can draw your own conclusion, but I think there's more good out there than misleading or bad. I mean, if you want to choose to stay in the muck, much like our political atmosphere is at present, but even still, get involved. I was telling somebody recently, get involved with the local elections. You know what I mean? You can't just come to the big show. You know, you got to support these local elections and build your way up. That's what's important. That's what's important. And also check out, you should download and check out the Birth of a Nation soundtrack. Like I said, that's worth it. I was listening to that, and
it's
impressive.
I saw that Nas and Erykah Badu performed recently. Is that from that film?
Yeah, okay. I told you earlier, Nas is on the soundtrack.
I was watching it earlier.
You've got a host of artists all being, and it's again, the narrative changes because you're socially aware, and the lyrics are what's in the forefront. Mm-hmm. So you don't normally think Lil Wayne or 2 Chainz in this style, but imagine if this catches on. Think about that for a minute. Think about how dangerous that can be, not for you or me. You know what I mean?
It's exciting.
Oh, I love it. I applaud it and I embrace it. Oh. I challenge you, the listener, and you too, Mariam Tazi, to check out the Breakfast Club. I can't say their name enough for putting on that interview and what they're doing, on a much, much greater level of broadcasting and also, speaking truth to power, because that's important. And we have these outlets that you can go to YouTube and download it for free. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay $7.99 or $11.99 or $3.99 for it. It's free $99. Huh?
Funny. Good joke.
Terrible. only person that laughs every time at my jokes, people. But yes, yeah, I do. No, yeah, yeah. Studio is a little empty. I need engineers. I challenge you to download that and go to the movie. Check out The Birth of a Nation, and submit some feedback. We'll be awaiting to see what you guys think. Domino, motherfucker.
The American Riddle Podcast. Malcolm Riddle. Riddle. The